So today is the 10th of January, the 4th of Shvat, and we are doing Perek Yod of Shmuel Bet. I think we're going to get through the whole Perek today. Next week, Bezrat Hashem, I know you won't be here, but that's when we start Bat Sheva story.
I realized I should tell you that I won't as well
okay.
in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Okay. So after this starts the Bat Sheva story, we're hopefully going to see a little preview of that. Last time we met before the break, we saw David's amazing chesed where he sought out a descendant, surviving descendant of Shaul, in order to show him honor in Kavod. So this week we're going to see another chesed of David that does not have a happy ending and in fact seems a bit misplaced. Okay? So there's a lot of really great stuff in this perek, which is funny because probably most people just consider it the perek before the good stuff of Bat Sheva starts, but it in and of itself is really amazing. Okay, so Vayhi Achrechin, Vayamot Melech B'nei Amon, Vayimlach Chanun B'no Tachtav. So it was after this, we don't know what this is, and I didn't see anybody comment on it either. And the king of Amon died, and his son Chanun reigned in place of him. Okay, so just a couple things to talk about. Does anybody remember the king of Ammon? So he played a really big part in Shaul consolidating his kingship, because he's the one, after Shaul was anointed publicly, that he made the threat to the people of Yavesh Gilad that he would take out their right eyes, Ayin Yamin, right? And Shaul then chopped up a cow in 12 pieces and sent it to all the tribes, and they all came together and they all defeated Nachash Melech Ammon.
Oh, that was a couple years ago.
Yeah, that was a few years ago, so I don't blame you. but so just to keep in mind the political landscape here, so Nachash ben Ammon was clearly a great enemy of Shaul. And then the complexities of David having escaped Shaul, and who my enemy's enemy is my friend type thing, so we're going to keep that in mind here. Okay, and now his son Chanun is in place of him. You guys know what Chanun means, where we see it in Tanakh? Exactly, Rachum v'Chanun. Chanun v'Rachum, right?
Yeah.
Both of them. It's all over the place, one of the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's very similar to mercy, chesed, all these words. So it's really, I think it's ironic, and you know, who knows if it was his real name or if the author is trying to make a point here in naming this king Chanun, because he acts in the opposite way of Chanun, especially in the face of David HaMelech's acting in Chanun. Okay. Oh, okay, thank you. Okay, so Bet Vayomer David. So David said, Eseh chesed im Chanun ben Nachash. I'm going to do chesed with this guy, this new king, Chanun, the son of Nachash. Kasher asa aviv imadi chesed. Just like his father did with me a chesed. Okay, so we don't know what that is. Obviously, we're going to explore what kind of chesed did Nachash ben Ammon, this horrible king that we only know explicitly in the text from his threat to the people of Yavesh Gilad. And here we're learning for the first time that David thinks that he did some sort of chesed for him. Vishlach David lenachmo biyad avadav el aviv. And David sent to comfort him in the hands of his servants to his father. Ve'yavo'u avdei David eretz b'nei Ammon. For his father, sorry, not to his father. And so David, the servants of David came to the sons of Ammon, the children of Ammon. Gimel, we're going to read a little bit and then we'll go back and explain all these things. Bayomru Sare b'nei Ammon el Chanun, and the ministers of the children of Ammon said to Chanun, Adonehem hamechabed David et avicha be'enacha ki shalach lecha menamchim Hello, Bavur Chakora Ta'ir Ularagla Ulafcha Shalach David Et Avdav Elecha. So the princes look at this situation and they say, do you think that David honors your father that he sent you comforters? Is it not in order to investigate the land? Okay, does this remind you of anybody? It uses the word chakor, but this reminded me a lot, and I don't know, I don't have anything deeper to say about it, but of Yosef accusing his brothers for coming to spy the land. So I'm sure there's some deeper connection there. It's not the same word, l'ragel is what Yosef uses. It also says ularagla, right, which is fired out. It's the same word. So there is some kind of connection there.
Moshe sends Joshua to... the spies, to spy out the land.
Right, exactly. And, it's interesting because they are not called meraglim until the story is repeated in Devarim. In Bamidbar, they're called letayer, tourists.
Yeah, tourists.
Yeah. So maybe they're all related somehow. So the ministers are accusing David of sending these servants not to comfort Hanun for his father, but rather as a pretense to spy out the land, to attack it. Okay, so Pasuk Dalet, Vayikach Hanun et Avdei David. So Hanun takes the servants of David. And now this is very surprising and shocking what he does. Vayigaleh et chatsi zekanam. He shaves half their beard. Vayichrot et madvehem b'chatsi ad shetotehem v'yishalchem. And he cuts off their clothing in half up until their behinds. And then he sent them away. Okay, so let's stop there and let's just figure out why David sent them, what's going on. So let's see some of the sources and then we'll go back to it. Okay, so the first thing you need to know is from Devarim. It's the bottom of page 2. The English is on page 3. So these are the halachot with regard to Ammon and Moab. Okay, now remember, Nachash was the king of Ammon. And also keep in mind that these are referring to the men of Ammon and not the women, which is why David is a kosher Jew with his great-grandmother Ruth. Okay, Lo yavo Ammoni u'Moavi b'kal Hashem, gam dor asiri, lo yavo lehem b'kal Hashem ad olam. So you can never invite anybody from Ammon or Moab into the congregation of God. Al davar shelo kidmu etchem belechem uvmayim b'derech b'tzeitchem b'mitzrayim, because they didn't meet you with water, with bread and water, as you were leaving Egypt. V'asher sachar lechet Bilam ben Beor miptor Avram na'arayim lekal lecha.
What? What's being referred to here, b'kahal Hashem?
I think it means, usually we interpret it to mean marriage or converts.
Oh, okay. You just can't marry them, but they can still come into your neighborhood and be friends with them.
Yeah, but they can't convert and you can't marry them. You can never accept a convert. There's actually an interesting discussion in the Gemara, I think it's Masechet Brachot, where somebody during the time of the Gemara wants to convert and he's an Ammonite. And they're wondering, can we accept him? And the end result is that as a result of all the upheavals of all the wars with the Assyrians and with the Babylonians and how everyone was uprooted and brought to new places and new people brought into old places, it was decided that they were not the original Ammonites and that indeed they could marry and convert with us. So we don't know who the original people were. Why? Because they didn't greet you with bread and water on your way from Egypt. So it's interesting because this is just a very interesting story to trace the whole development of Moab and Ammon from its originators of Lot and his daughters, and how Lot was very eager to greet his guests and offer his daughters and all these things. And you see how it becomes a people that is inhospitable completely because of their roots. And here's also where we understand that that they hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people, because that was the king of Moab or Midian? Yeah, I think Moab. Okay, it's a Midianite woman that, okay. Anyway, Vilo ava Hashem al kecha lishmoa el Bil'am, but Hashem didn't want to listen to Bil'am. Vayafoch Hashem al kecha lecha taklala bracha, and Hashem turned these curses into brachot. Ki ahevcha Hashem al kecha, because Hashem loves you. And now we get to the mitzvah. Lo tidrosh shlomam b'tovatam kol yamecha le'olam. You should never ask their peace or their goodness for your entire days ever. Okay? So we can't even reach out to them. So you ask a good question, like if they just show up in our land, what do you do? I don't know. They don't exist anymore. But you can't seek after them. And David here wants to go to them and offer comforting to Hanun on behalf of his father. Okay, so now we're going to see two midrashim that give us two somewhat different perspectives. I have the English for some of it from Rav Bazak. So this is Bamidbar Rabbah, and this is also interesting. So this is a mitzvah in Bamidbar, where it says, Tzror et ha-midyanim, afal pi shekatav. Okay, so... So you can sort of harass the Midianites and smite them, okay? It's actually interesting when it talks about the Moabites and the Ammonites, you're actually not allowed to go to war against them because their land is their land and we weren't allowed to take it away. It's not like the seven Canaanite nations. So there are three lands that we weren't allowed to touch. That was Moab, Ammon, and Edom, the land of Esau. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting when you think about it because they're all the children of Abraham, essentially. And so when you think of the promise Hashem gives Abraham about land, it's different than the promise he gives to Yaakov. So for Ammon and Moab, we're allowed to harass Moab, but we're not allowed to harass Ammon. And Rashi there brings in a really interesting midrash that it's because the younger daughter of Lot was more modest than the older daughter. Have you heard this before? Mm-hmm. Because the older daughter named her son Moab, which basically means incest. Mm-hmm. And the younger daughter, Ammon, was a little more modest in the way she named him. So we're allowed to harass Moab, but we still can't fight them or conquer them. But Ammon we have to really leave alone. So I might have misquoted some of those words, but that's basically what it is. Okay, so tzvor et ha-midyanim, so harass the midyanim. Afal pi shekatavti ki tikrav el ir lehilachem aleha v'karata lela shalom. Even though I said that when you go to a city to fight them, you should call out to them with peace. Le'elu lo tasukin, but to the midyanim you shouldn't do that. Lo tidrosh shalman v'tovatam. Don't. And the Ammonites and the Moabites, you cannot seek out their peace or their goodness. This is actually an interesting halachic debate in terms of offering peace before going to war. And offering peace in the Chumash means if you surrender and become our slaves and pay taxes, we won't fight you. So it doesn't mean like we'll be equal partners or anything like that. But it's a debate, Rashi Rambam, whether this applies also to the seven Canaanite nations, or the seven Canaanite nations, you just have to go out and fight. I forgot whose position is who. It's an interesting topic to think about. Okay, so at motzei b'misha ba'i mehem b'minat rachamim lesof ba'li de bizayon milchamot v'tzavor. So you find that one who goes to one of these nations with the character attribute of mercy, in the end, it'll just be embarrassment, war, and harassment. Be'eze ze David. And who do we learn this from? Who proves this? David. Ve'yomer David asa chesed im chanun. And David said, I'll do chesed with chanun ben nachash. Amar lo kodesh baruch hu, atah tavor al devarai. You will transgress my words. And this, the English is here. Ani katavti lo tidrosh shlomam b'tomatam. I wrote not to seek out their welfare and their goodness. V'atau sayimam gemilut chesed, and you do gemilut chesed with them. Al tehi tzadik harbe shelo, and don't be too much of a tzadik, is a pasuk from Kohelet. And then this translation says a person should not add to the Torah,
But the words here say, "Shelo yehe adam mevater al haTorah." So a man shouldn't cancel out the Torah. So I don't know if that's a typo in the translation or it's a different version or what it is, but it's just interesting little difference. V'zeh shaleach lenachem b'nei Amon, and this one is sending to comfort the children of Amon, v'lasot imo chesed, and to do chesed with him. Sof balidei b'zayon. In the end, they will just come to shamefulness. V'yikach hanun et avdei David, v'yigalach et chatzi zkanam, v'yichrot et medveihem v'chatzi ad shetoteihem, v'yishalchem uvalid. So the embarrassment was that Hanun took them and shaved off half their beards and cut off half their clothes to expose their behind. Ubali de Melchama, and it also comes to war, which we're going to go back in and read. Im Aram Naraim, Mache Tsova, Mache Ma'aka, the Im B'nei Amon, Arba Umot. So these four nations go to war against David. We'll see that in a bit. Vayar Yoav, Ki Haitalav, P'nei HaMelchama, and Yoav, his military chief of staff, saw that the front was on all sides. Mi garam le David kach, what caused that this would happen to David? Shebikesh lasot tova imi shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo tidrosh shlomcham. Because David wanted to do good for the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically said not to seek out their peace. Lechach kativ tzoror et vagomer. And that's why it says to harass them. Okay. I'm not entirely sure, just being intellectually honest, why this midrash is here with regard to the Midianites. And this is an Ammon and Moabite. I think a lot of times they get conflated, the Midianites, into the Moabites and Ammonites, even though they're totally different people. The land on the other side of the Jordan River that went to Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh, the reason why they were able to conquer it is because the Midianites had conquered it from the Moabites, and therefore it lost its status as Moabite land. So they're totally different people. But they get conflated somehow, and because they come together in their mutual enemy of Bnei Israel. So I don't know. Okay, so another midrash, the pasuk 27:10 from Mishlei is above in translation because it's quoting it. So the translation again from Rav Bazak is from Ben Midbar Rabbah, but I liked what this version in Midrash Tanhuma had to add. Vayisa Misham Avraham. I forgot. This from Vayera. I think it's when he leaves Lot. Kativ Recha Varei Avicha Vegomer. So the whole pasuk in English: do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not enter your brother's house in the day of your misfortune. A close neighbor is better than a distant brother. Okay, but it's focusing on do not forsake your friend and your father's friend. So what is Zechanun ben Nachash? So this is putting it actually into a positive light. David was not forsaking his friend, somebody who did something nice for him, and this midrash is going to explain what that nice thing was. So it's putting it in a positive light, unlike the previous midrash, but it still has the same bad ending. Zeh Hanun ben Nachash, Melech b'nei Amon. So this is Hanun, the son of Nachash, the king of the children of Ammon, Shenamar, Vayhi achreichin, Vayamot, Nachash, Melech b'nei Amon, Vegomer, Vayomer David, Aseh chesed im Hanun ben Nachash. And David said he's going to do a chesed with Hanun, the son of Nachash. Amar Rabbi Berchia b'shem Rabbi Elazar ben Padat, Uma chesed asa Nachash im David. What was this chesed that Nachash did with David? Shemar kasher asa aviv imadi chesed. As David said, just like his father did for me a chesed. Ela kishabarach David mishaul. When David was fleeing from Shaul, halach David v'chol beit aviv eto Moav. You remember David went in all his household to Moav. Okay? Amar lahem, Kiblu Beit Abba, he said to him, please receive the house of my father. Shenamar v'yinachem et p'nei melech, v'yincham et p'nei melech Moav. And he led them to the king of Moav. This is starting the English also. V'yomer el melech Moav, yatsa na avi ve'imi. And he said, let my mother and father be with you. Bekiblu otam, and they received them. Kevan sheyatsa David, But when David left, Amad Melech Moav v'harag le'aviv le'imo le'achiv shel David, the king of Moab killed all of them. Lo nishtayir meham ela echad. Only one was left from them. And I think Rav Bazak, I'm not sure, compares this to the story of Nov. And this is he relates this as David's punishment for having set off the events at Nov by going to them and putting them in danger. Because if you remember also in the story of Nov, there's only one survivor. So that's the comparison then. Shenamar, so who's the one survivor of David? Le'Yehuda Elihu me'achi David. So we read in Divrei Hayamim of only one brother of David, his name is Elihu. Amar Rabbi Levi Akoin bar Chalafta, Shelo nishtayer meham ela echad. There was only one survivor left. Ve'hech nimlat Elihu. So how did Elihu escape? Ela barach mimelech Moav. He has fled from the king of Moab. V'halach etzal Nachash melech b'nei Amon v'kiblo. So he fled Moab and went to Amon, which makes sense. They're right next to each other, and they received him. Shalach melech Moav v'amar l'Nachash shama ba echad me'achei David etzalcha. Maybe one of David's maybe one of David's brothers came to you. Amar lo lav. So Nachash said, no, nobody's here. V'shamru ad shabat David, and he guarded him until David came. L'chach amar David, eseh chesedim chanun ben Nachash. That's why David said, I'm going to do this chesed with the chanun, the son of Nachash. Malvim's going to really explain this even better. Why would he wait until Nachash died? Why didn't he do chesed with him while he was still alive? We're going to see that in the Malvim. Kevan shaba'u shluchav shel David etzel chanun. But when his messengers came to Chanun, Amrulo Sarei ben Eamon, Ma'ukach, the ministers of the children of Ammon said, what is this? Hamechabed David et avicha ve'necha, ki shalach lecha min amchem? You think David's honoring your father in your eyes because he sent comforters? Al tamim b'David, don't believe David. Lamesha kadosh baruch hu masiro bishvilenu. Why shouldn't you believe David? Now this is really fascinating, because in the first midrash, it was Hashem himself chastising David because of what was written in the Torah, right? And this time, it's actually the ministers of Ammon saying, don't believe David. Look what God warns them with regard to us. Ketiv v'torato, it's written in his Torah. Lo yavo Ammon yomoavi b'kal Hashem. We know that that's written there. V'kativ lo tidrosh shlomam v'tovatam. And it's also written, don't seek out their peace and their goodness. V'hakadosh baruch hu maziro v'hu mevatal divrei elohav. And God is warning them, and he should cancel out the words of his God? It's such an interesting thing to think of the servants being educated in the Torah enough to say this goes totally against their laws and principles, and he must have some ulterior motive for sending people here because this is not allowed and he would never disobey his Torah. V'omer eseh chesed im Chanun ben Nachash, but he says, I'm going to do chesed with Chanun ben Nachash. Haluba vorcha kora te'ir. No, it's because he wants to research the city. And that's why Chanun took them and shaved half their beards. And then it looks like the Holy Spirit declared that same pasuk from Mishle, do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, which maybe is a chastisement at this point of Chanun. I don't know. So it's just a little different perspective, and it fills in the blanks of what the chesed was. And quoting these sources of the command not to seek out their peace from the mouths of the ministers of Chanun ben Nachash, which is really interesting. Okay, so now this actually gets into the halachic literature. I just included one source that sort of includes everything else rather than giving you all the individual things. So this is the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah is Rav Yosef Cairo's commentary on the Mishnah Torah. Okay, so Rav Yosef Cairo, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, and his commentary on the Torah is called the Beit Yosef. So he was Rav Yosef Cairo was very prolific. And in addition to writing all these halachic commentaries and classic halachic works of literature that are universally accepted all over, he also is a Kabbalist who lived in Tzfat. So he's just a really interesting figure, 15th century. Okay, so this is his commentary on the Mishnah Torah. Lefi she'namar imcha yeshev v'chulei. I don't remember what the original halacha is. I should have included it. I apologize. But you'll see, we don't really need to know it. So katzvu hagahot maimon. Hagahot maimon is a later Ashkenazi commentary on the Mishnah Torah. So he says, she'namar lo tidrosh v'chulei. He says, not to seek out. So that's the halacha we've been dealing with. Katav ra'am. I've learned the Ram in my learning. I forgot who he is. It's not the Mizrahi, who's a super commentary on Rashi. It's somebody else. Bima devarim marim. What is this referring to? Bidrishat shalom de asur. So seeking out peace is asur. Aval tashlume shalom mutar. But some other type of greeting is permissible. Kagon im asuim chesed. For instance, if someone did a chesed with you, mutar lefakdam leshalom, you can single them out for shalom. Shenamar, as is written, vayomot melech bnei amon, vayimloch chanun bano tachtav, vayomer David asa chesed im chanun benachash kasher asa aviv imadi chesed, vishlach David lenachmo ad kan l'shano. So the Haggadah Maimonides makes this distinction between drishat shalom and tashlume shalom, whatever that means, and saying that David wasn't really doing drishat shalom, which would be forbidden. Rather, he was doing tashlume shalom, which is permitted if someone did a chesed for you, and to remember it and to return the favor somehow. And this is what David did. So this is interesting because it looks like Haggadah Maimon is putting it in a completely positive, justifiable light, which is not what we saw in the Midrashim. So the Kesef Mishnah, Rav Yosef Cairo says, V'yesh litmoa alza, we need to wonder about this. She'amru chazal b'midrash, she'lo kehu gan asa David baza. Because the rabbis say in Midrash that David did not act properly in this way. Okay, so it's just an interesting little side note in the halachic literature how this develops. Okay, so now the Malbim. So we'll just do the Malbim through Pasuk Dalet, and then we'll go back into the text. So Hasha'elot. I was just reading a little biography of the Malbim online, and it said that he really admired the Abarbanel. We're going to see he quotes the Abarbanel. And the Abarbanel also wrote his Parshanut on Tanakh in this fashion of listing a bunch of questions first. In fact, I once heard that that's why he's not included in most editions of like Mikraot Gedolot, because he had this humongous list of questions. Malbim kind of breaks his up more, and people were afraid that people would just read his questions and not get to his answers, and they'd be left with all these questions. So we're going to see Malbim quotes Abarbanel, and he also starts. That's probably why he starts out with his questions that we always see. So the questions: Lama lo shalach malachim lenachash b'chayav? So why didn't David send messengers to Nachash while he was alive? V'lama yiskimu avdei Chanun ki lechpora ta'aretz bo? And why did all of the servants of Chanun agree that he came to dig up the land? Esechased. Yisrael musharim shelo lidrash shalom Amon u'Moav. So we saw in the Psukim that Israel is warned not to seek out shalom with Amon u'Moav. Umnam kvar katav behagahot maiman. It's already written in Haggadot Maimon, like we saw in the Kesef Mishnah. B'shem hara'am shed lidrash shalom adam she'asa lo tova ulehachzir lo tova mutar. That you can seek out peace with a man that did you a favor in order to return that favor. V'David lo darash shalom nachash b'chayav. And the reason why David didn't seek out peace with Nachash during his lifetime, shebezeh haya muchrach shemalachav yavo shama derech kritat brit im ha'uma bichlala, v'zeh asur. So if David had sent out servants during Nachash's lifetime, sent out messengers, then it would have been seen as they were making some kind of treaty with the entire nation. And that is completely usur. There wouldn't have been a political way around that during Nahash's lifetime. And that's why he had to wait for Nahash to die. Rakata shemeit Nahash matzamakom leze lishloach menamchim. Only now, when Nahash died, did David find a way to send out comforters. Because then there would be no misunderstanding that they're coming to make some sort of covenant or treaty. Rak menachamehu, only to comfort him. Shebeze mechamid et aviv hamid. And that's how they could honor the dead father. V'yesh lo heter al zeh, achar shehu derech hashava tova. And he even has a heter, a certain permissibility to do this, because it's returning the favor. So he's making the Haggadah Maimon make a little bit more sense in how you can justify David's behavior here. Shalzeh Omer, and that's why it says, Esa chesed, kasher asa aviv imadi chesed. I'm just returning this favor. I'm not breaking any Torah commandments. Ve'yishlach chulei lenachmo, chulei al aviv, and he sent to comfort to, concerning his father, lo ba'avur atzmo, and not for him himself. Ubekolza amru chazal. And this is what we read the Midrash about, the Midrash Rabbah, Shedavid na nashalza, that David was punished as a result of this. V'yesh lamar shediyak ze b'mashikatav, and we can discern out this punishment from what's written, Vayavoav de David eretz b'nei Amon. So the servants of David came to the land of b'nei Amon. Shal kol panim hayu nirim kebaim el ha'aretz bichlala lidrash lomam. Because even though David tried to find this loophole of how he could properly repay a favor, it still looked like they were going to do drishat shalom for the entire nation, the seeking out a peace. V'zeh asur, and that's asur. Hagam she'akar hashlichut, ikar hashlichut haya menachem et chanum. Even though the main part of the sending out the messengers was to comfort Chanun. L'chach b'divrei hayamim, pevirish vayavo el Chanun lenachmo. And in Divrei Hayamim, where we have the repeat of this story, and it's almost word for word, it says more explicitly, and they came to Chanun to comfort him. And I included the pasuk, and you compare it to our pasuk, because the last word here is lenachamo, to comfort him, which we don't have. It's a little more stressed that the purpose of the mission was just to comfort. But the people of Amon misunderstood it as a general drishat shalom, which then, as we saw in the other midrash, would be usur. Okay, Vayomru Sarei b'nei Amon, and the ministers of Amon said, Ra'u ki lo ba'al ki korte brit im ha-melech ha-chai, k'derek sheshalach Hiram el David v'el Shlomo. He's not coming to make a covenant with a living king, like the way Hiram sent to David and to Shlomo. We already saw Hiram sent to David, and we're going to see later in Malachim how Hiram sends to Shlomo, and he helps provide a lot of the materials for the Beis Mikdash. Rak l'nachamo al hamit, just to comfort him on the dead. Ve'al zeh sha'alu, and that's why they asked, Hamechabet David et avecha b'enecha, is David honoring your father before your eyes? Ratzon lomar, im lo kabdu b'chayav, v'lo hayalo kritat brit imo, if he didn't honor him in his lifetime, and he didn't establish a treaty with him, ech yechabdu b'enecha acharei moto, how can it possibly be seen as honoring him after his death? Because he sent you more comforters, lo korte brit, and not people to make a treaty. This must only be to seek out the city and spy it. L'da'at makom shekalichav sham yisham kedei lahavcha, in order to know which place is easy to conquer in order to overturn it. Okay, so you see how they come to this conclusion according to the Malbim. Dalid vaygalach chatzi ziknam, and he shaved off half their beards. Pevrush mahariya barbana sheasa ken mipnei shehaita biyatam tova mitzad kifi divrehem shebao lenachmo. So they only did half the beard, according to Barbana, because there was some goodness in their coming, because they came to comfort. V'ra'a mitzad kavanatan shebao leragelat eretz. But there was always aretz, but there was also bad, because really, they came to spy out the land also. L'chein natan lam chatzi avonam. And therefore, they gave them half of a punishment. V'galach chatzi ziknam v'karat chatzi mil v'sheham. They shaved half their beard and they cut half their clothing. Lefi shehazakan v'halavush ha'aroch haya hadrat panim v'kavod b'yamim ha'hema. Because the beard, the full beard, and the clothing, long clothing, sorry, was a glory, an honor in those days. Okay, so now let's go back to the text. Okay, so hey. V'yigidu l'David v'yishlach likratam ki hayu anashim nichlamim me'od. So it was told to David, and he sent out to greet them because the people were very embarrassed. V'yomer ha'melech shvu birecho ad yitzamach ziknechem v'shavtem. So he said to them, go to Yericho until your beards come full, and then you can return. He's giving them a little like shelter while they regrow back their beard. It's very interesting. I was reading the Art Scroll commentary of Shmuel, and the notes on the bottom were actually quoting Dat Mikra, which I found surprising because Dat Mikra is more, it's a religious scholarly edition of the text. And it said that Jericho was a small little outpost at the time that wasn't very populated, so they could go there and not be embarrassed while they regrew their beards. Okay, Vav. Vayir'u b'nei Amon ki niv'ashu b'David v'yishlechu b'nei Amon v'yiskeru et Aram b'it Rechov v'et Aram Tzova esrim elef raglei v'et melech ma'acha elef ish v'ish tov shneim asar elef ish. Okay, so the children of Amon see that David has been humiliated, and they people of Amon sent out to hire mercenaries. Okay, so they hire all these people from all these different places. The Tov, the land of Tov, is mentioned in the story of Yiftach and his daughter, who he says he'll sacrifice. Okay, so they're preparing for a full-out war because they see that David is really upset. Zayin veishma David veishlach et Yoav veet kol tzava hagiburim. So David hears and he sends out Yoav and all of the army of his heroes. Now this is interesting because Rav Bezak and Rav Elnatan both point out that David is not going out with them initially in this war. He's sending out others. Chet veitzu b'nei Amon ve'erchu melchama petach ha'sha'ar. So the children of Amon go out and they organize a war at the opening of the gate. V'aram tzova rechov ish tov ma'akal v'adam v'sadeh. So it's all the other places in the field. They were by themselves in the field, so all these mercenaries that they hired. Tet v'yar Yoav ki haita elav p'nei ha'melchama mipanim u'me'achor. Yoav saw that the face of the war, the fronts, were from before him and behind him. And he chose from all of the choicest men of Israel, and he also organized themselves, arranged themselves to greet Aram. And the rest of the nation he put in the hand of his brother, Avshai. And they prepared to go to Ammon. Okay, so let's just look for a second at Malbim. No, I don't want, I actually want to skip that Malbim. He's just comparing it to the Psukim and Divrei Hayamim, which have slightly different numbers, trying to reconcile them. And then Avshai. So Avshai is somebody that we have already met and we will meet. I'll show you in a second. So let's just read Rashi on that. We'll read it in English. Into the hands of Avshai, to Avishai, who is called Avshai throughout the entire book of Chronicles, both in the written text and in the reading, except for these two cases, which are exceptions to the rule according to the Masorah. The reason that he is called Avshai in this entire book is because it was written in David's honor. And it is not honor to call his nephew Avishai, meaning I too am as esteemed as David because my grandfather was Jesse. So Avi Yishai, my father was Jesse, but really it's his grandfather. So he's trying to put himself in the same place as David. Therefore, in this entire book, he is called Avshai, taking out the Yud, so making it Shai instead of Yishai. And in the entire book of Shmuel, he is called Avishai, except once where he is called Avshai, and that's our pasuk. This is according to the Masorah because Jesse was the father of his mother, Tzruya, who was his mother. Okay, and then just to remind you where we saw Avishai before, So we saw Avishai when David is being chased by Shaul, and he decides to go out and sees him sleeping with his water bottle and his sword, and David's able to sneak it out and take it. And that's where Avishai said to David, "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hand, and now let me strike him now with his spear to the ground with one stroke, and I shall not repeat this to him." And David said to Avishai, "Do not destroy him, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be counted guiltless?" And then the second time we see him is through this whole battle with Yoav, with Avner. Now Yoav and Avishai, his brother, slew Avner because he put Asael, their brother, to death in Gibeon in the battle, if you remember all that. And David then had to go make peace. Okay, so now given what we know of both Yoav and Avishai to be a little bloodthirsty, let's see how they talk to each other, and we're going to see another slightly more tender version of them. So, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer im techazak Aram mimeni, v'hayta li lishua. If Aram is too strong for me, you will be my salvation. V'im b'nei Amon yachzeku mimcha, and if the children of Amon are too strong for you, v'halachti lehoshi alach, then I will go and save you. It's kind of this tender moment. And then we have a very famous line in Yud Bet, chazak v'nit chazek, ba'ad amenu uva'ad are Eloheinu. So be strong for our nation and for the cities of our God. Chazak, chazak, v'nit chazek is where we get this from. It's where it comes from, which we say at the end of every Sefer of Chumash. And so let me just finish the pasuk, and then I'll show you where else we see it. V'Hashem yaseh hatov be'enav. And Hashem will do the good in his eyes. So this is, if you look at the very last page, there, I included three things. So one was the title of a book that was like to give people of Yasha v'Hagolan. So it's from a while ago when there was still Aza. So Yehuda, Shomron, Aza, and the Golan, to give them strength. So the title of the book is Chazak v'nit Chazek, Ba'ad Imanu Ba'ad Are Elokeinu. So you can see how those people would really identify with this line since they're the cities of our God. So that's just the title of the book. Here's another one, I think it's coming from a more religious perspective, where the people of Beit Shemesh organized a whole tefillah because of what was going on in the land. I didn't do enough research to figure out what was going on in 2015. It might have even had to do with drafting of yeshiva. Boys, I have no idea, but they use the same line, Chazak v'nit Chazek. And then I found it also, something I want to read more when I have more time, this Mahar Labach, who used this line to strengthen the people because he was deeply opposed to this other rabbi in the 15th century in trying to reestablish a Sanhedrin. He thought it was a really bad idea, and he won. So he also used this line. So just an interesting history of that line. Okay. So Yud Gemal Vayigash Yoav Ve'am Asher Yimo L'Mechama Ve'aram Ve'yanusu Mipanav. So Yoav and the nation gathered, and everyone just fled from before him. V'vnei Amon Re'u Kinas Aram. And then Amon saw that Aram fled, Ve'yanusu Mipnei Avishai. So then they fled from before Avishai. Ve'yvoa Ir Ve'yashav Yoav Me'al B'nei Amon Ve'yavor Rishalayim. So then they came to the city, and Yoav returned from B'nai Amon, and he came to Yerushalayim. Tadvav vayar aram ki nigaf lifnei Yisrael vayesfu yachad. So then Ar saw that they were smitten before Israel, and they gathered themselves together. So these are just all more details of the war. Vayishlach hadad ezer vayotze at aram asher me'ever hanahar vayavo. So then more people join them because they're not doing well, and they have more people can join them. So Hadad Ezer sent and brought out the Arameans that were from beyond the river, and they came to Helam, and Shobach, the captain of the host of Hadad Ezer, before them. David, and it was told to David, and this is one of those rare cases where we have a break in the middle of the pasuk. So Vayasof et kol Yisrael vayavor et Yarden. So all of Israel gathered and they crossed the Jordan River. Vayavo chelama, and they went to chelam. Vayarchu aram likrat David vayalchamu imo.
And Aram came, they set themselves against David and fought with him. So David's fighting here. Vayinas Aram mipnei Yisrael. And they fled, Aram fled from before Israel. Vayarog David me'aram shva me'ot rechev v'arbeim elef parashim. So David killed from Aram these huge numbers, 700 chariots and 40,000 second in commands. Ve'et shovach sar tzavo hikah ve'yamot sham. And he also killed the minister of the army there. And he died. Yotet. So all the kings, the servants of Hadad Ezer, saw that they were smitten before Israel. They made peace with Israel. And so they made themselves servants with them. And the Arameans feared to aid the children of Ammon anymore, so they didn't want to be hired to fight against Israel anymore. Okay, so let's just look at this chart on page 6. And this is from Rav Bazak, but I added a little bit to it. So he's comparing chapter 9 and chapter 10. So in chapter 9 is when he's trying to do chesed with a descendant or surviving descendant of Shaul. And you see he's consistently called the king there. So he's, and David said, is there yet anyone who is left of the house of Shaul that I may do kindness to him for the sake of Jonathan? And he's consistently called king. It's all bolded. Whereas in our chapter, he is almost consistently called David when he wants to do kindness with Hanun, the son of Nachash. So it's taking away the title of king when he's acting inappropriately. And if you see, the only time he's called king is at the very end, is after the men come back completely humiliated, and the king said, remain seated in Jericho until your beards grow, and then you shall return. He's doing a chesed for them, for allowing them to hide out in the small outposts of Jericho, and that's an appropriate chesed, and that's when he's called king. So Rav Bazak says, in chapter 9, where David acted in a commendable manner, he's referred to over and over as a king. In contrast, in the opening verses in our chapter, he is repeatedly referred to as David. And in this way, scripture alludes to the fact that David acted in accordance with his emotions as a private citizen, while ignoring his standing as king of Israel, who must represent the entire nation. Even though, as stated, David acted out of good intentions, his mistake nevertheless had very tragic consequences. Had David not sent comforters to Hanun, the son of Nachash, the Ammonites would not have humiliated them, and Israel would not have gone out to war against them. And Yoav, the son of Tzruiah, and Uriah, the Hittite. Who's Uriah, the Hittite? Husband of Bathsheba. Would not have left Jerusalem. And that is how we are transitioning into the story of David and Bathsheba. So this act, this misplaced act of chesed, really led to all sorts of downfalls. It's the beginning of the end for David in terms of Bathsheba, but obviously he still redeems himself before his reign is over.